Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, here with stylist Casey Bixby, and part two of our discussion with the lovely and talented Amanda Seyfried. Still spell it out in my head first. I look at the psi. Let's talk about, you were recently had a baby.
Yes.
How old is your baby?
About 7 weeks.
Wow. Brand new.
Brand new.
And so I would love to find out your...
Brand new, but so old to me.
Is that how you feel already at 7 weeks?
Yeah. She's 10 pounds.
Wow.
That's awesome. How big was she when she was born?
Six and a half, 6'10". It's incredible.
Like, that's amazing.
She was tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, she was the perfect size for me to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you're not a giant.
I'm not. I'm definitely not. I know she's going to be very petite, but I just think
she's so old. Has she started modeling yet?
What?
Has she started modeling yet?
No, I'm going to wait until she's two. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Two is going to seem so old.
Oh my God, I know.
What about, I mean, okay, I would love to talk about your pregnancy and find out how it was for you. Were you expecting to have a baby?
No.
No? Accidental?
Yeah. Accidental.
Is that, oh, okay. There was air quotes.
Yeah. You can't hear air quotes.
Right. You can't hear it.
That was me.
Sounding air quotes.
I certainly knew, we knew that we wanted to be together and make a baby, but, you know, sometimes things happen and it's the biggest blessing in the world and we were so excited.
How did you find out?
A test.
Because?
Oh, because I was late.
Oh, you were late.
Oh, I'm never late. This is so weird.
Oh, you're always right on time?
Yeah. It's
amazing. That seems like you.
It's really punctual. Like, it's really stress-free when you know what to expect. I mean, I like to be in control of things.
Mm.
And I was, like, really excited when I was late. So I took a test, and it was just, you know, you imagine these moments, like, being proposed to and marrying somebody, walking down the aisle, or having your baby and taking a pregnancy test. You imagine all these things, and when they really happen, it's just, you can't believe it's happening to you,
right,
even though you've imagined it your whole life.
Were you excited to take it?
Oh, yeah.
You're pumped.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was really tired that night, but I was really excited to
take it. Was it a clear answer?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, boom, I'm pregnant, no
question. Totally. And...
Was Tommy there?
No.
Oh. Did he know you were taking it?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to wait a couple days.
Why?
Because we weren't together. Because he was... I was working, and so I got to tell him. So, you know, I think it's really fun in that respect because usually the man proposes to you. What does the woman get to do? How does the woman get to reveal something? And there's all these new ways of revealing pregnancy and also revealing genders and all that stuff. But it was a really fun thing to be able to. I can't keep secrets. And so that was the most impossible week of my life.
Isn't it? So I didn't tell my husband for a few days either after I found out. But I forgot about how exciting that time is when you know something.
Yeah, something
that's like going to change both of your lives.
Yeah, something like the most important secret you'll ever have.
Yeah.
Besides like murdering somebody.
Right. And better. I mean, better case.
Right. Totally.
Yeah, way better.
Way better.
How did you tell him?
I wrote a little poem.
Very that's, sweet.
That's and I, so I, nice. And I just said it to him.
Said the poem?
Mm-hmm. I read it out loud.
And did he know immediately?
No.
He didn't figure it out right away?
He was like, oh, that's a nice poem.
Beautiful, babe. Beautiful.
And I was like, you weren't listening. Did you hear what I said? It was a little abstract. But, you know, I had so much time to think about how. And it was driving me crazy because the more time I had, the more ideas I'd have. And it's just, I know what men go through. Well, men, you know, what people go through, it's too traditional, to propose to their partners. And, God, how stressful.
Did you have other thoughts on how you were going to do it?
I don't remember anymore, but I know I had like,
you went
a
through
lot
a bunch.
Of, oh, yeah. I mean, at one point I was like, maybe I'll just send him a picture of it. But I didn't want to take anything away from the experience. I wanted to add to the experience. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I would have been taking away the moment that we could have shared,
right,
the moment he found out. You know, because you don't get many chances in life to have these kinds of moments.
I'm kind of curious what the poem was.
I am.
I'll stay curious.
Top secret.
Stay curious.
I'll stay curious. But I just want to see if...
If you would have been able to figure it out.
Well, now it's too late because I know.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I'm not super perceptive like that, so I feel like I would have missed it too. Especially wasn't expecting it at all.
You're a man. No, I'm kidding.
Left field. Yeah, I'm totally not.
A man.
So then pregnancy, had you thought about pregnancy?
I was terrified of idea of it. Yeah, I was working. Oh, man. Whew. That's rough when you can't tell people.
On a show or on a film?
On a
film?
Movie.
On a
and,
film.
And I just kept filling out. So, I mean, my thing that nobody told me, there are a lot of things that nobody told me. Like, of course, I'm sure you're like, whoa, this happens. My boobs grew right away, so I was.
Oh, no, you need a girdle, like a boob girdle.
He was really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Physically uncomfortable?
I was physically uncomfortable because I was wearing all this tight stuff and it wasn't like closing right by the end of the movie, and I couldn't tell people. But I was always scared of pregnancy because I was always afraid of getting sick because I have this big, big fear of throwing up. So,
because you're a control freak.
I'm a control freak, yeah. And I have OCD, so the throwing up fear is very common with people with OCD. Mm. It's also that feeling before you throw up. It's the worst.
Ugh.
The nausea and, just...
And did you get sick?
I threw up once, actually. I did get very nauseous for like a good 2 to 3 weeks, which is not a very long time.
No, it's not bad.
But I was miserable. I was miserable.
Was throwing up like acting on stage? No relation.
Sort of. There is a correlation there, I think.
I mean, you had to give up control, that thing, for both of them.
Yeah.
Overcome a barrier. True. Well, you said you had OCD. Were you diagnosed with OCD?
Yeah.
When? How old were you?
I was 19, but I had it all my life.
What led you to get a diagnosis?
I had a panic attack, and I'd never had one before. I was driving to work, and we shot Big Love up in, like, Valencia, where the Six Flags is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was driving to work, and I just had a panic attack, and I was beside myself. I didn't know what was happening. I called my mom. She talked me down, and I drove to work, and from that day on, I got a doctor. I saw a neurologist. He took an MRI. I thought I was, you know, because I'd had a lot of headaches that week anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I like to get MRIs.
I like vanilla ice cream. I'm just saying we like different things.
Yeah, but they all lead to the same place.
You like to get MRIs because you like to make sure you're not dying of a cancer?
Of something,
all the time?
Yeah, as much as I can.
Part of your anxiety? Is that go with OCD
health
anxiousness?
Health anxiety, yeah.
Health anxiety.
Yeah.
Because OCD affects people in different ways. How does it affect you?
I did a lot. I had a lot of rituals. I mean, like it would take me a really long time to put my clothes away in the drawers. And it's all about organization. And if it doesn't feel right, you have to keep moving until it feels right. You have to move things around until they feel right. I had a thing with numbers, which is very common, with the volume level in the car. They had to be certain numbers. I don't even remember the numbers anymore because I abandoned all those rituals through therapy.
And it couldn't be on a certain number, or it had to be on a certain number?
It had to be on a certain number. Ooh. And it also couldn't be on a certain number.
Yeah.
So it depends on the day. And
you had this your whole life.
Yeah. Stepping on certain tiles in the kitchen when I was younger. I never showed my parents. Afraid I was going to hurt somebody. Even though I didn't rationally want to hurt anybody, I was afraid I was going to lose control of my body, which doesn't happen.
Right.
But when you're young and you don't know what OCD is, you
it's gonna be scary.
You think you're crazy. It's horrifying. It's a horrible
Was it refreshing to be like, oh, I have OCD?
Yes. When I was 19, right. It was one of the best moments of my life. Right. I read this OCD checklist.
You read a poem about it?
No, I didn't.
No, to like tell
I
people?
Should.
Yeah.
No, you know, the thing is about
7
OCD.
7 is good, 4 is bad.
I just want to like talk about it always.
I think it's amazing
now that
you
I have
talk
a kid.
About it.
I think
well,
it's
that's my next thing is how does it affect parenthood? But it's... Like most people are like, oh my God, I hope nobody ever finds out that I have anxiety or depression or OCD. And because of that, the stigma around mental health is really makes it hard for people to admit or find out that they have diagnoses and then
right.
treat them.
Right.
But
yeah.
It's like if somebody doesn't have a leg, then you're like, oh my God, let me help you with your stuff. But
right.
if somebody has mental health handicap or issue, then we get weirded out and back away from them.
Yeah, it's people are protecting the stigma by not being open about it and being honest about it. And the truth is, I function really well.
You do so much stuff.
I know, and I'm social, and I'm not afraid to do very many things.
I mean, I don't, but I almost like I want to be an OCD. Like, I'm a slob. I just throw my stuff in the closet. I know I don't, but I'm just saying parts of it. So I'm like,
They can be helpful. I think part of it is actually good in terms of acting. I think I use some of my anxiety and some of my OCD tendencies. Certainly, you know.
But you don't get to control everything when you're acting. You're a moving part.
Yeah, that's true.
So is that sometimes...
It's not about controlling everything, though. It's about controlling certain things. And sometimes I'm not even aware that I'm doing something, that I'm behaving in an OCD way.
Do you feel like since you've had your daughter, has it been more challenging to control, like, certain impulses or, like, needs
no,
for certain
it's
things?
No, it's funny. I started... cognitive behavioral therapy again because you don't have to do it all the time. It's like you kind of check in with yourself and see how well you're doing and where you are of your OCD and your tendencies and how it's affecting other people and in your life. And I checked in because I was done working and pregnant and, you know, felt just really wanted to figure out what I could do to prevent certain behaviors that I don't want to pass down to my daughter. And,
right.
So I've been going since October, and it's been really great. I'm like, my OCD is pretty low right now. And I think it also has to do with the fact that there are real things going on. I have real stuff to do. I have to wake up at certain times. I have my child to take care of.
Right.
I have, you know, my husband and my mom and people around me to, you know.
And Finn.
To connect with and communicate with in a healthy way. And it's just pregnancy, this is the thing. I thought I was going to fall apart being pregnant and postpartum. Very, very scared about postpartum depression my whole life.
Yeah.
And I found out during pregnancy, my hormones worked for me. Sometimes they work against you. Sometimes you feel sick and out of control and everybody has a different story.
Mm-hmm.
With pregnancy, I was really good. Whatever the hormones were doing, I was really coasting. And I felt pretty great after the first couple months. I felt really incredible. And like I had on a lot of things. I felt really healthy. And after I had the baby, I felt really healthy.
Well, in your first trimester, you said you threw up one time.
Mm-hmm.
Was that because you didn't let yourself throw up? Or
no.
Because you didn't feel like you had to?
I didn't have to throw up. It was just the nausea.
Yeah.
And I would just eat matzah.
Crackers.
No, matzah and dip it in cream cheese and I gained some
delicious.
Weight.
That's like you'd love Passover.
I love Passover food.
No, you should come one time to a Seder.
Thank you, I will.
Absolutely.
You're gonna be sorry that you asked.
No, I will not be sorry. That's our Seders are kind of, we need a little.
What's that apple stuff that you make?
Haroset.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
It's the bomb.
And you just dip your matzah in it.
Oh, it's really good. So then... You feel good during pregnancy.
Everything, I'm looking back, even my delivery, I had all these fears. Everything worked out so well. I can't believe that I projected so much. Right. And I think...
But you're not the only one. Most people have tremendous fear about pregnancy, childbirth, postpartum, parenting.
Yeah, because you're out of control of your body.
Exactly.
And also, there is so much fear in society about it. You never, like,
especially in America. I feel like that's... In Europe, I feel like...
Oh, they don't care. They're
so
drinking
much more
and,
laid back.
And having a good time. It's
well,
a celebration.
Oh, yeah, it's much more. Yeah, it's like much more like a celebration and this journey, and it's like that's the focus. And then here, I think I told you. I remember saying to you, I opened What to Expect When You're Expecting. Right? Isn't that the general text?
It's
right?
Giant encyclopedia.
And I was like, I read one sentence, and I like closed it and gave it away. And you said, don't give it away. It is good for something. You can use it as a high chair.
That's true.
Or like as a booster.
So true.
When your kid's not quite tall enough to sit at the table.
Because it's so fear based.
There's so much information too.
And there are people who actually that book is really good for, who need to know every possible thing that can go wrong. And
I don't think that's good for anybody.
I don't know.
I've noticed that some things are good, and then the rest, you know, you don't know who your kid's going to be. You don't know how things are going to go for you. The more I talk to the moms in my life, my friends who I grew up with, especially, we have a group chat, the better I feel, because I actually, every time something happens that is alarming, I check in with them.
Right.
And the support that we give each other is so, it's so important for me, and information is so important for me. And like when we have a question, Tommy Googles something, or I ask my mom, is this normal? Because my mom, of course, is coming from a really calm place, and she's like, don't worry. And I am a worrier, and I have to understand what's happening at all times. And, you know, it's not great. It's not great for me. It's not great for him. It's not great for our daughter. But, I mean, and that's what these books have provided for me. It's like when I need to know something, I can check.
It's a reference.
It's not necessary. Yeah, like Michelle Hakaka's
book. Expecting 411.
411. It's great. And we just got a
Scott Cohen.
Yeah, Scott Cohen. And they're great because then I can check something.
Right.
But I don't need to go cover to cover because
I actually really enjoyed Dr. Hakaka's book, reading it from beginning to end, because she has such a nice way of writing.
What book is that?
Expecting 411. I think it's meant to be more reference based, while you're going through something, read on that paragraph. But she actually writes things in such a pleasant way that even scary things sound that scary.
That's so great. I know. That's when I called Dr. Cohen's office the other day about something. They're like, "Yeah, that's pretty normal." And honestly, I wouldn't worry about it. She seems to be doing really well, and that's all I needed to hear. But there's just so much information out there, and it's great, but it's sometimes not. I mean, the information, I would rather have the information coming from people now that I'm actually speaking to that are going through it.
Right.
Yeah, when we did our breastfeeding, we had a breastfeeding awareness family festival that used to travel around called Booby Palooza. And part of our thing was we would take people who are successfully breastfeeding and connect them with people who are about to have a baby who want to breastfeed. And the feedback we got from that people, they stayed friends for years.
Oh, my God. It's such a big deal, breastfeeding. Yeah. It's so stressful and it's frustrating and
even if it's
beautiful.
Working perfectly, it's stressful.
Yeah, you're tied. You're weighed down physically and emotionally, and you can't really leave the house without providing something, you know, a little extra. You can't leave your baby for too long.
You can't travel without extra garments.
It's a lot. It's a lot I did not know.
Are you working now?
What, now?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Me either. I'm just checking.
I did work one day a couple weeks ago, and
it was too much?
It was really hard. I was like, it's been 3 hours. She's still sleeping, so I'm going to try to wait till 5.
Did you take her with you?
Yeah.
To work?
Yeah,
because you're breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Snacks in between.
You are craft services.
Yes, I am.
Well, I want to go just a little back, because when you were pregnant, you were working a job. You couldn't tell people right away. How long did that go into your pregnancy?
I was done week 12.
Okay, that's a good time to be done. Yeah. Were you already, you're not really showing at week 12?
No, I didn't show till 20 weeks.
And then did you continue to work?
Mm, I was done.
So you took 20 weeks off until the end?
No, I did work in January. I played a pregnant woman.
Oh, okay.
In the movie, so it was great. Man, I have never been treated so well in my life.
Oh. Really? That's nice to hear.
I was treated like a queen. I used to look young. I think I still kind of could pass.
I think you look young.
Maybe. Thanks. I mean, it's changing, but people definitely take advantage of me on sets. Like, I'm really nice, and I never put up a fight for anything. I'm super passive, and, you know, you'll never get any gripes from me. And people take advantage of that very easily. And so I end up getting pretty resentful. But and then passive aggressive sometimes. But usually it's just resentful. And this movie, they treated me like I was a queen. And they were like, we're gonna do this scene. We don't really need you for this. And I'd be like, no, I can stay. I'll do off camera. Of course I'll do off camera. But they're like, really though, please go get some rest. Please
go
home.
Oh, wow, that's so nice.
And they'd check in with me all the time. They'd make sure I was cozy. And it's just not like that usually. You know, I'm young. I'm nice. Amanda's cool. She'll be cool. She'll be cool. But now it was like, what can we get you?
That's so nice that they did that. I mean, because I have a lot of patients who act, and it's not always like that.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes they just pretend like nothing's happening. You know,
well, that
isn't business as usual.
Cool, because pregnancy is a...
It's a beast.
It's a beast. And my pregnancy was pretty great, and it was still at times excruciating.
Painful? Like the symptoms of pregnancy?
Yeah.
What'd you
back
get?
Back pain. Oh. I had back labor, too, so that was... That epidural, like...
We need to talk about that in a second.
Oh, my God.
How did you feel growing?
It was a slow growth. It was a very slow process. So
aren't you happy
like,
when you're finally showing? When you like, finally had
I
a belly?
Like, what is this, gas? And I kept sending pictures to my mom. She's like, still gas. And finally I had a bump. I was so excited. I took pictures
weeks?
All the 20 weeks, yeah.
Do you have pictures all the way through?
Yeah.
20, 21, 22.
Oh, sure do.
Did you string them together?
No.
I want to do that. Can I string them together for you?
Yeah. Actually, I think, yeah, I probably have enough. I erased a lot of them.
Really?
Because I just took so many.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think, taking a lot of pictures.
So you were excited about it, though. You were happy to grow.
Yeah, I was really happy.
Do you know how much weight you gained?
I gained 35.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's normal, right?
It's on the outside.
It's average.
Normal.
It's at the top of average. But you're small, so.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I think I was on the top of average, too.
Yeah.
That sounds about
I'm saying
what
putting,
I did too.
Putting 35 on a small
food,
frame is different than putting 35 on a big frame.
Yeah, so that's true. I mean,
it's almost no wonder you had back pain.
Oh, so much. So much. Oh, my God. Ugh. I couldn't even. I had to lay on my side at all times. And I think that's partly why I had the. I mean, it could partly be the carpal tunnel stuff because. I had to be on my side all the time, no matter what.
You had to be for comfort or because medically?
For comfort.
Oh. What about semi-reclining, like putting your back up?
No.
I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind. Using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order.
Didn't help you.
I'm feeling very bad for you that you didn't meet Dr. Berlin during your pregnancy.
I'm sort of feeling bad. I want to go back in time and
oh my God,
alleviate your back pain.
Oh, it was so bad.
I'm so sorry.
That last month was, we did everything we needed to do to get that baby out because up until, like I see Susan Minnick for acupuncture who just is a blessing. And 2 weeks before my due date, she started doing some induction points. Mm. And I did everything the books tell you to do in order to get to go into labor.
So were you late at that point?
No.
She just didn't want
to. Oh, 2 weeks before.
I just didn't want to go over.
Right.
And I know people usually say you're going to be late for your first baby's going to be late. Was yours late?
4 days, yeah.
Okay. That's not bad.
No.
I was a day early,
though. No, my husband was going to have to leave for work. So I was, like, starting to get stressed. So he had to leave for when she was 10 days old for, like, 2 weeks.
I vaguely remember that.
He must have been.
But I was like, girl, you got to come out.
Oh.
It's harder. I have, like, athletes, hockey players that get off 2 days for maternity, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just to be home and then.
Oh, that is not. That's no way to live.
That's why I don't play hockey.
No. I know. I have a friend, too, that her husband's in the military, and so she had to schedule a C-section, and I think her husband left the next day for his deployment for like 6 months.
I have a lot of people who do that, actually. Not a lot, but a good number. I mean, I could think in my mind many.
It was like,
oh my God,
I could hardly get through.
Actually, for armed forces, for professional sports, and also for entertainment, they just got to schedule it and go.
It's crazy.
Either inductions or cesarean.
Having a baby, I mean, for me, it's a three-person job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the two of us and our daughter. And if we lost one, it's like a tripod. I couldn't imagine losing him
a day
later or whatever. Even now, it's still hard. We're thinking about work in the summer and it's just.
How did you prepare for birth?
How did I prepare? I swam every day, and I tried to prepare my body as much as I could, and I tried to stay as fit as I could be.
Yeah.
Were you, during the pregnancy, excited about birth, fearful about birth?
I was really fearful until I met with Beth Kelly, the nurse at Cedars.
Uh-huh.
She did a home birthing class, and I was after that home birthing class, I thought,
what is a home birthing class?
It's like, just where she comes to the house.
Okay, she did a birthing class at your home.
Yeah.
Not for home birth.
No. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. No, I am definitely not suitable for a home birth. Too many fears. But she, 4 hours she was there, and as soon as she left, I was like, whoa, this is going to be really cool.
That's great.
And ever since then, I was excited about it. Really excited. Even
really
in the hospital,
nice.
I was so excited. I got the epidural. I labored at home for 10 hours, 11 hours.
Just the two of you, three of you?
The two of us for like 8 hours, and then the doula came over, and then my mom came over. Ooh. And so I just labored
there.
Did you
have emotions around your birth?
What?
Did you have emotions around your
my
birth?
My mom, yeah. I mean, as much as she, yeah. Mean. Did she cry? I don't think she cried. Maybe a little bit. Maybe by herself, she cried. She is so in love, you can tell. Like, she is wonderful.
Is it her first grandchild?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What made you go to the hospital?
That's great.
I was like, I need an epidural.
Oh, it was intense. It was all on your back, too.
Mm.
That's the worst.
I was
crawling
on all fours between contractions.
Between
contractions.
Wow.
It was so bad. And then during, because I knew if I sat down, the contractions would stop. Or they would slow down.
You didn't want them to?
No, because Hakaka said when they're 3 minutes apart, that we should head to the hospital if I want an epidural. And I was like, are they 3 minutes apart? And once they were 3 minutes apart, I knew that if I sat down, they would become 5 minutes apart again.
Right.
What is that? Didn't know that either. So I couldn't sit down and lay down, which helped me on my side. So I had to just crawl around and stand back up during the contractions and it was really quiet and really beautiful and really nice, and it was our only like cloudy day. And finally around 11:30 I was like, I need an epidural now.
And that's at 11:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd been laboring since 1.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Did it wake you up out of your sleep?
Yeah. It always does. It always Braxton Hicks always woke me up.
Okay. But then this time it was different.
This time I was like, it's nothing. It's not labor. And because it was too early. It was a day early. It was 2 days before I was due. And I was just thinking.
Oh, so your acupuncture worked.
And I had spicy Indian food that night.
Oh, great. That always works.
Among so many other things. I mean, I was bobbing in the pool that afternoon.
No.
Before. Anyway.
That's a busy day.
It was an incredible day. We were sitting out in the sun. We took a picture of how big I was. I was ready to go. I was really, really ready. And Susan had done my acupuncture the day before. So I got in the car. That was the worst car ride of my life.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And
well, you can't. Labor. That's right, Dr. Berlin.
No, even that time I had Chinese food and Mexican food together, they were both a little older than they should have been.
No, that's not the same.
I did
thing
wake
at
up
all.
In the morning you having contractions them? 3 minutes apart, lasting about a minute.
You don't know.
I called my doula. That's the closest I can probably ever come. They were fighting the Chinese and the Mexican.
Okay, yeah, so at 11:30, at least traffic's not insane.
Traffic was incredible.
Thank God.
So weird. It was so weird. I was like, this is finally, I was so excited. And we get to the hospital and I'm so excited. And we get the epidural and it doesn't hurt. And I'm, again, so excited because I beat the fear. I got the epidural and it didn't hurt. And the pain started going away and I was so excited. And then they broke my water and all this fun stuff was happening. And
then did they tell
window.
You how many centimeters you were or how dilated you were when you got there?
Yeah, I was 4.
Okay. And because you were afraid of the epidural, did you ever think about not getting it?
Yeah, I was like, what would it be like if I didn't get it?
Right.
And a lot of people do it. My best friend did it. She's a superwoman, though. And another friend of mine who is superwoman was like, get the epidural. Like, why wouldn't you? And now I agree with her. Why wouldn't you? But people
we have back labor. So, I mean, out of normal labor is a lot different.
Oh,
I
my
think.
God. It's like you're having, it's like your baby's coming from like, your spine.
Yeah, wait, can I ask a question about back labor?
Yeah.
That is it always, is back labor always because they're posterior or can
mom,
be for a variety
of
reasons?
I was with her for 5 times. None of her babies were posterior and she gets back labor every time. It's
interesting.
Just her anatomy. Most common cause of back labor is the baby's skull is against your spine.
Uh-huh.
So every time you have a contraction, it forces that base of your spine like all the way back and you feel like you're going to break in half. But,
yeah.
And so like anytime, I always tell people if you're suffering in childbirth, you get an epidural no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting because if you had more normal contractions, right, and they're intense, but you don't feel like you're breaking in half, you start to make these natural drugs, endorphins, and you start to feel kind of high. And we just filmed a documentary where I was her doula, and I was doing body work with her, and she's in this tiny apartment downtown.
And who is this?
It's just a woman who came through the office with her husband.
God.
He's a filmmaker, and they documented their entire pregnancy and everything that they did during pregnancy, and like he filmed the birth. There were cameras everywhere, but no people. Like he would go set them from time to time, and we get to that moment that almost everybody gets to, where there's a big dose of fear. Like I don't think I can do this. I don't, you know. She looked me right in the face. She's like, I don't think I can do this. And I explained to her about why you make all this adrenaline, and it makes you feel fearful, and your body wants you to prove that you're not in danger, and then the adrenaline goes away, and then it's uninhibited, like, because adrenaline inhibits labor. And I don't know, maybe an hour and a half later, she had no fear. All those endorphins kicked in, the oxytocin kicked in. She was high as a kite, and she just tells these crazy, funny stories. And she says, I think I'm so high right now. And you see it. I'm, like, so glad they caught it, except for part of me was wondering how the balding spot looks from all 4 angles. But other than that, I was so happy they caught it, and I can't wait to see this footage of her.
Oh, my God, me too.
Because you can see, like, what it could be like. And it may not be like that for everybody. If you're in pain and suffering and you don't want to take it anymore, of course you get an epidural. That's what it's
there for.
But
that's what's bizarre, too. It's so different for everyone.
Totally.
And every time.
Right.
One person can, like, be screaming for an epidural one time and just wait it out and see what happens and end up in that high ecstatic state another time.
The truth is our bodies are made to do this. So there's pain, but it's not pain that's going to kill you. It's just that we have the tools to keep it from getting
Well, you shouldn't
too
suffer.
Painful.
You shouldn't suffer. Like, why would anybody suffer?
If you
why
don't
would somebody
have to.
Endure the pain? That's a different story. Why do people climb Mount Everest?
Sure.
That's really intense, physically challenging, painful, but they have a challenge that they want to overcome. And I think nature gives you that challenge. I think there are benefits to that challenge, why nature does it that way. But, you know, then when things go out of the ordinary, especially, it's I'm like so in love with the fact that we have ways to just shut that off
and
let you enjoy your labor.
And take a nap.
I'm taking that.
Because pushing. Wonderful gift.
Pushing is a whole other thing.
Tell me about pushing.
I pushed for a half hour.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know.
First baby.
I know.
Could you feel what was going on? Mm-hmm. Did they turn down the epidural a bit?
It wasn't. I never put it up. It was
wasn't that strong.
The normal dose, which I felt was almost too much because I couldn't feel any contractions. But boy, I could feel the pressure, and I have pretty strong ab muscles, even though they were separated.
Stretched out. Oh, they separated too.
But I just feel like it was, they kept telling me I was pushing like it was my second kid, and I felt really empowered by that.
But Michelle, she's a great coach.
Oh, my God. She really, it was wonderful. It was just a really nice, quiet time, moment. It was, I was scared at one point because I did get nauseous and I did throw up. And I was told that that is something that happens. And
but you don't like throwing up.
I don't like throwing up. So I was midway through pushing. I was like, I'm scared. And of course, Michelle was like, you got to throw up.
She's also practical.
Yeah. And it was, of course, you're right. You can't, if you feel nauseous and you sick, you can't do your best. And you just got to kind of.
Right.
You have to push a human out of you.
And
it's a job. I remember one of the nurses said to me, rest up, you're going to need it. You need the energy later. Mm-hmm. You need to take a nap. Because I was so excited I couldn't take a nap.
I was at a birth just recently. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but she couldn't relax because she was too excited. Mm-hmm. It was a home birth and she was so giddy.
That's
and
really
excited.
Sweet.
It's so, because you're going to meet your child.
But it was like, we just needed to, she needs to settle down and just get into labor. You know what I mean? She was like in, sort of, out, sort of.
Right.
And we put on Ali Wong. Have you seen her?
Oh, my God. Have
Baby
you seen
Cobra?
That?
No.
Oh, you got to see it.
Hilarious.
What is it?
It's a network.
She's
Netflix
the comedian
special.
And she has a Netflix special called Baby Cobra, and she's super pregnant and she's hysterical.
Oh, she's so
you'll
funny.
You'll probably love
I don't
it.
Know about that.
We put on Ali Wong.
It's newish. Like
30 minutes later, she was in transition because we're all laughing so hard.
That's wonderful.
I've been recommending it to everybody. Some laughter, no joke. I mean, we were laughing so hard. In fact, there was a point where she hit transition from nothing. And she was having this giant surge go through, and I was squeezing her hips behind her, and her husband was in front of her, coach, like looking at her and holding her. And he and I were like face to face. And Allie's in the background talking about the difference between sleeping with Jewish men and sleeping with Asian men. And they're Asian. And he and I were face to face dying, trying to hold it in because she was in the middle of this monster surge. And when she finally finished,
so
we were
just,
you know, that people say rolling on the floor laughing. We were rolling on the floor laughing.
Oh my
it was
God.
Hilarious. I had to shut it off because she was like,
that ready. Kind of energy is, there's nothing beats that, especially during labor.
Yeah, and it's because it really helps get. She didn't have fear; she's just a giddiness. But I recommend it to everybody because, like, if your mind is laughing, your body knows you're not being chased by a tiger. And
right,
if you don't
right.
feel afraid, the energy rushing through you is much more tolerable than if you're afraid of it.
Oh my God, that is so right.
Comedy for birth.
So you got the epidural. You got to take a nap.
Yeah,
and then you woke up from
hardly.
That.
I woke up, it was, you know, there's some plateau action.
Right.
Just
plateau
chilled.
In action.
You know, she was, it was just dark, quiet. My sister and her husband came to visit.
And what time is it at this point?
Probably like 9, 10 o'clock at night.
What?
Yeah. It was a 24-hour birth, a 24-hour labor.
Wow.
But it didn't feel that long.
That's
I
good.
Just felt safe.
Yeah.
I felt... It's just, you know, hospitals are weird. Hospitals are scary. Hospitals are boring. But I just felt really excited and really safe and really lucky that things were, that I was healthy and she was healthy. And I don't know.
Do
just,
you remember the moment you saw her face?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I do. I also have it on video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you watch it?
I do. So. I love watching it. It's really dark, but...
Who shot it?
My doula. Dana. Yeah, she was amazing. She was incredible. And it's just perfect. It was just quiet and beautiful. And it was the best moment of my life, for sure. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. I mean, she was wonderful. She opened her eyes and right away, and, you know, we just connected. She connected with Tommy. That was the first person she looked at. And they still have this, I mean, father-daughter connection. It trumps everything.
It's amazing.
I will never be able to connect to her that way, and that's okay. We'll have our own thing.
One baby where I remember that moment so clearly. Partially, I think, because of faces. Like, I can't picture their little faces. And partially because I'm usually crying like a baby. But our home birth, where it was a water birth, and he came out in the tub.
Your first kid?
Our fourth.
Fourth kid was a water birth.
Yeah. And the midwife just kind of put the baby still underwater in my wife's hands. And she brought him up to the surface. And to just see his little face come right up to the water, the surface of the water, and then come out, he didn't cry. But it wasn't like panic. He was just eyes open, and he was looking at me, and he was looking at her. I'll never forget that moment. And I didn't cry. I was like sort of crying tears of joy inside.
Right.
But it was like too beautiful to cry at that moment. I just didn't want to lose it. And that is so strongly burned in my head.
That's amazing. That's moment. An amazing memory.
And I don't know, always, I still cry. I've been to so many births, and when those babies come out, it's like, just, I don't know why. It's like, I break down. They're like, Dr. B, come take a picture. And I'm always like, oh.
I was watching a lot of birth videos before I had her to get ready, especially when I was scared in the beginning, the early days of pregnancy. And every time the baby came out, I was just a mess alone watching these videos, a mess, because it is, even that commercial, I don't know what the commercial, Johnson & Johnson, I don't know what it is, but this woman is giving birth and they give her child, and it's just, it kills me. And now it's just that faucet just will never turn off. In me. Yeah. That's it. I'm a parent now, and I appreciate things in a way that I never have. And I know everybody's told me that was what was going to happen, but now I'm finally experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm mixed on you on breastfeeding because you...
Oh. Breastfeeding. You know, I was ready to quit about 5 days in
because
it was the searing pain and I couldn't get a good latch.
Yeah.
She had her cleft. Tongue was a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
And I'd seen Linda Hanna, a couple times. She's
lactation
amazing.
Lactation coach.
My nursing coach. Oh, God. That's her company, right?
Yeah.
And
Mobile.
Mobile. Amazing. Just amazing. So she gives me so much confidence. But it was hurting so much, and I was overproducing. And I know I hate to be that girl. I make too much milk. There are people that make no milk, some milk, a lot of milk. I am that person. And I got mastitis very early on.
No.
It was really bad. I kind of knew I was going to get it because I'd heard about it. And I have a good sized chest to begin with. And this is not fun, but it's regulated a little bit. It's like the biggest puzzle I could never figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I'd wake up and I'd be like, how do I, so now what? Now what should I try? Now what should I try? Should I try pumping 4 ounces every 3 hours and try to store for the trip that I'm taking soon? Or should I stop pumping for a little while and only nurse? Maybe she's like, how do I know what she's getting?
Mm-hmm.
How do I stop producing so much? What is the cabbage leaf going to do? Can I use a nipple shield? Will she get too used to the bottle? And it's just all these questions, and it just figures itself out, and you just have to be patient with yourself because 7 weeks down the line, I have mastered it in a way. For me, I have mastered it. I use a nipple shield, and I have no guilt for it.
No.
And she's getting milk. She's gaining weight like a champ. And I'm so sick of feeling bad. For you? It keeps the pain.
Oh, it's for the pain.
It's for the pain because for whatever reason, I do sometimes feed her without the nipple shield. Just
test it out.
To test it out. Yeah. See if maybe I don't need the shield anymore. And it's a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to not look forward to breastfeeding her.
Sure.
I want to look forward to it in a way that it's...
Do you look forward to it?
Now I'm more indifferent. I used to be fearful of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. So I used to get stressed.
Do you feel like it's evolving now that you have it kind of down?
I have it down.
Wait, then why do you think you were feeling guilty about using that shield?
Because they make you sign a waiver when you pick it up at the pump station.
That says
it's not for long-term use.
What?
And that we're not...
Is it medically or is it?
I don't know. I didn't understand it either.
It's so strange.
And so it's like a release form. Like, I understand that, you know, you're not liable for anything. Maybe nipple confusion or I don't know. But she doesn't seem to have any of that. I'm really lucky in that way. I give her a couple bottles a day. I give her my breasts.
That's great.
A lot. And my milk is coming in and it's fantastic. And I sleep and I take a break at night. And that was the best advice I ever got.
Yeah.
Scott Cohen. Oh. Take a break at night. Your boobs will regulate.
Figure it out.
Mm-hmm. They'll figure it out that you're taking a break at the same time.
Right.
And you can sleep.
And you get to sleep like a normal chunk of time.
Yeah. And also, I have no guilt about having my mom being our night nurse.
Yeah. Why would you have guilt about it?
Because so many people and so many of my friends who aren't judging me, but they don't have a night nurse. They choose to do it, just the two of them, by themselves. And you know what?
It's a choice. I mean,
how do you function when you don't have someone doing the night, you know, the nighttime? Like, I need sleep. I don't know how, but most people do it. And I'm in awe of them.
I am in total awe of my wife and everybody else who does it. But I was fairly useless, especially on the later kids when I was working more.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, think about that. She'd be up two or three times, even more, three or four times feeding the newborn and then wake up in the morning and there's a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
That's what I can imagine.
Raring to go.
Did you not have a nanny?
You know, as we had more and more kids, we would have a night nurse come from like 10 p.m. till 7 a.m.
Yeah. Right.
Just so Alyssa would still feed the baby because she wanted to.
Yeah.
And then, but the nanny or the postpartum doula, I guess, would be sleeping in the room with them or hanging out in the room with them with the baby so that when the baby is ready to eat, they'd come right to my wife. She'd feed the baby for 25 minutes and then all the burping and diaper changing and if the baby didn't settle right back down was happening in a different part of the house so that she could sleep, so that we could sleep. But with the first one, we did it on our own. We did it on our own, but I wasn't working nearly as much. I would wake up in the morning early and take him for a long walk so she can sleep later.
Wow.
Like, we were able to figure it out. And she loved, loved, loved to do it. I mean, she really didn't want anybody else to do it. And that's her choice.
Amazing.
Other people don't have to feel that way. Like, if you don't do well with not sleeping, then if you're going to be in a rotten shape the next day, then what are you giving your baby?
Right, great, a healthy parent is a healthy kid.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that 1,000%.
For sure, and that's another thing. Like, I didn't get off my antidepressant. It's really for anti-anxiety for me, but I've been taking Lexapro for years and years and years, and I didn't get off of it.
Yeah.
I was on an extremely low dose.
All pregnancy long?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then and you still are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't have any postpartum issues? Mental health issues?
Not at all. It's
Did
actually
you say you
been wonderful.
Feel better? You
That's
feel
awesome.
Better.
I feel better.
Yeah.
You
got like postpartum high.
Yeah, I kind of my.
That's great.
There's
this
very small
really
group
good.
On Facebook, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, postpartum elation.
Is that what it's called?
No, I'm just making it up. I'm just saying.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Am I that lucky?
You're the one.
It's pretty awesome.
No, a lot of people feel great after they have a baby, but...
I feel like that after I encapsulate my placenta.
Same.
Oh, you ate the placenta?
Heaven.
Yeah.
Those pills are like happy pills.
Are they? I never noticed a difference, but...
But you weren't feeling bad.
I wasn't feeling bad, exactly. So I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know that I was feeling bad, but I was definitely feeling very depleted, and I felt like in very bad shape. Like, amazed me that when you're charged with the greatest responsibility of your life, you feel like a truck just ran into your vagina.
Oh, my God.
And now you have to – it's like crazy.
It's like a car accident.
Yeah.
But then you have to go to work full time, like with the whole taking care of the baby and feeding a baby.
Yeah. And I remember feeling depleted. Yeah. But – and I remember taking those and I would – they were like happy pills to me.
You're so lucky.
Did Scott have any?
Are you kidding me? I guarded those things
oh, he
with
didn't try
my
it?
Life.
Was Tommy having a little placenta on the side?
I don't
think so. No, I think they're really creeped out by it.
Yeah.
Is my,
yeah, like, a lot of people
I think
are
anyone
out
who's
it.
Not a mom who's done this is
what about
probably
milk? What about
thoroughly
the milk?
Creeped
right,
out.
Right,
right. I know. I feel like a lot of the, not a lot, you know, a lot of the very earthy guys try the milk.
Yeah.
No?
No. I mean, I wouldn't. Try it.
You're not going to drink your... You didn't try your own milk?
No.
You did.
No, I just had a... I'll tell you about it.
Okay, later.
About it later.
We almost
it's
thought
not
about
me. I would tell the story if it was about me, but it's not.
Else? Okay.
So...
I know a guy who, in his office, women are always pregnant or nursing, and they'll
and
use it as
cereal,
creamer.
So, yeah, okay.
We almost put it in our mac and cheese last night. We thought about it. Because we didn't have any milk.
Why won't you taste it? You're not. Are you curious?
I'm not interested, in the least.
Really?
Yeah, my sister tasted it. It was
your milk.
Sort of sweet. Yeah.
Oh. I'm sure I tasted it at some point. I can't remember.
Because we put it on stuff. Like if you have an infection.
Yeah, I put it on my face. I put it on her face. Yeah. If she has some kind of breakout, which she doesn't anymore. It's weird. They go through so many phases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
and
once
it's
you
only
adjust,
been 7 weeks.
It's gone.
It's incredible.
It never stops.
Every week there's something new.
I have a few questions for you from our audience. Did people say weird things to you during pregnancy?
No.
Damn.
Not at all. No one wanted to touch my stomach.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to touch
really?
My stomach ever.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I don't even want to touch my stomach. But
That's
it's different.
Weird. Yeah, I guess.
Nobody wanted
Did
to touch
you want
your
them
stomach?
To be touching your stomach?
I didn't mind.
Were you upset that nobody wanted to touch your stomach?
I was a little confused.
Yeah.
Because people
weird.
Tell you that everybody's going to want to touch your stomach.
Did you feel your baby a lot in your belly? Like with your hands? Could you tell the different parts?
No. Mm. I would pretend I could.
Yeah.
Definitely a foot.
You know what's so funny?
How is it really
For sure.
possible?
When I moved to Los Angeles, we thought we were going to see celebrities all over the place.
Right.
And this is before I knew I was face blind. I would just, and we, my wife isn't face blind. We hadn't seen anybody in like
you
4 months.
You still can't see a celebrity.
Right.
I still can't, but
to.
She can. But after 4 months of not spotting anybody, we would just stop at a red light and make up celebrities. There's somebody. That's Britney Spears. Yeah.
Can I interject a
please.
Question? Is there anything that you know now that you wish you had known when you were pregnant or before you went into labor?
So many things that I can't remember right now.
That's a great question.
Or anything that surprised you. I mean, any of that kind of stuff.
Either way, or things people told you were going to happen, but they didn't happen.
I mean, everything and nothing. I mean, I
or
guess.
Or maybe what's something if...
How about this? What is a great piece of advice somebody gave you?
Yeah, that's...
Was that the question and I just rephrased it?
Well, sort of. Or I was going to say, or if you were giving advice to someone, like
what
things
them?
That stand out the most to you about like labor, delivery, newborn?
Epidural, get an epidural.
Yeah.
Also...
Would you say get an epidural no matter what or get an epidural if you feel like you want an epidural?
Oh, if you want an epidural, get it.
Yeah,
or just go
just
for
don't
it.
Question it. If
yeah.
it's, if I mean, it's if you want to feel, if you want to take some of the stress away, absolutely get an epidural. There's no reason not to. I don't think. Also, I don't. Oh my God! I can't believe I'm blank right now. I'm also delirious
because
we had.
It might
we
be
had
because to, you have a 7-week-old.
Yeah,
and that,
take a boob break.
Oh yeah,
and mm-hmm. always.
I like all that advice. I feel like if you feel like you need one, take a boob break.
If you feel like you need one, take a boob break.
If you feel like you need an epidural, get
if
an epidural.
You hate breastfeeding
or want one,
and it's only a weekend, give it a shot.
Okay, mm-hmm. I feel like 90% of our patients who breastfeed successfully felt like they were going to quit at least one time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really felt like they were going to quit at least one time. I think that's a great piece of advice.
Just keep trying it. And I had a bunch of friends. One of my friends has a 10.5-month-old, and she's like, I love it now. Also, wear gloves when you do your dishes, because you're never going to wash so many things. You're never going to wash more. It is insane how much you have to sanitize stuff. I did not know about that. The bottle washing has killed my hands. I have a screaming case of eczema that just will not go away.
I feel like that's a first baby thing.
Really? Yes, it probably is.
Why,
well,
you just get less
thing.
Cleanly?
You don't care as much.
Right. Yeah. Totally. You're like, I'll just rinse it.
We don't pre-wash the clothing anymore. Rinse and go.
Yeah, it's true.
It's almost Mother's Day. Your first.
Yeah, it's Mother's my first Mother's Day.
Is there anything you want for Mother's Day or on Mother's Day to be special?
I would just like a really nice breakfast.
Hmm.
Which is what I get almost every day. I don't know. Maybe some flowers.
Does it feel kind of a...
You know what? I would like her to feed herself. I would love for her to just give me a break.
She owes you.
She
so.
Just maybe won
she can,
that
yeah,
day.
She can make you breakfast.
She'll be incredible.
She'll be 8 weeks.
Yeah, almost 8 weeks. Yeah.
It's not too much to ask.
Is there an interview question that you hope nobody asks?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of them.
Yeah, what's one of them? That popped into my head on the way here. I'm not going to find the question that makes you squirm, but you.
No, I just, there are so many questions that I would be horrified if somebody asked me. Like having to do with everybody else, because I'm such a big mouth. I used to be. I've had to like really filter myself down over the years.
A big mouth in what way?
I would just say too much. I realize now I can't actually talk about other people in interviews because it's not my...
You share too much for them.
Yeah.
Oh,
on their behalf.
But I also used to share too much about myself, which I'm not embarrassed by much. I've got like a good amount of humility. I can't think of any question that I wouldn't want.
I mean, you share so much about yourself.
Yeah. That's what's so weird. Like, I wouldn't want you to ask me what her name is because I wouldn't tell you. Because it's...
That's about her, though.
It's about, yeah, us as a family, sort of. And the more people that know her name, then...
Nobody knows the name?
Our friends do. And that's nice. You know what that caused? A lot of embroidery. A lot of embroidered towels. So many embroidered burp cloths. You could never have too many burp cloths.
Oh, that's another piece of advice.
A perfect swaddle is just the woomies.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, do you have the woomie?
Yeah, they're incredible.
The woomie and
she
the
sleeps with her arms out now, but
little glowworms.
Oh, they're so cute.
That's incredible. The great. I think that's the best. Now that you said, I think that might be the best like thing.
Also,
baby gift. What was your favorite baby gift?
I think. I gotta say, it's probably this little rabbit that my best friend Rachel got her, and the dog ate the arm off of it, and my mom got the arm, and so did that.
Oh, no.
And it's so tiny, and it's so cute, and I think that's the best gift. We got a lot of hand-me-downs. You don't need that much clothing.
No.
You really don't. They're gonna wear the same five things that really work.
Yeah. Yes. And then they outgrow it.
Yeah, and t-shirt onesies. What is the point for a newborn?
Yeah.
T-shirts at all that aren't onesies, that don't
snap underneath?
There's no point.
Riding right on up.
There's absolutely no point in not waste your money.
Forget it.
Yep.
Gosh, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. It's late. I want to let you get back to your
I feel like I came with all this. I wanted to come with all this information, and I was so excited to share all this information. And I can't wait to, like, share my experience with expectant mothers. Like, I love our friends who are pregnant because I get to just share all the things that are important and that I found really information that I felt was really, like, helpful and remained true. throughout my experience. So this was really fun. I don't feel like I said enough, but I know like I'm also a talker, so maybe I did.
You said a good amount,
but if okay. what you're saying is, will we have you back on the podcast in a few months to see how it's going?
Great. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. We're always going to be back.
Wonderful. I can't wait. Maybe yeah. Tommy will come back with you.
Tommy's yeah. really good at talking.
Okay.
Tommy's really good at talking nicely. He's really good at putting sentences together that sound great.
Amazing. Thank you. You shared amazing stuff.
Oh,
and
nice.
I really appreciate you being here. And I really do feel like Glamour Magazine had it right. You're so down to earth. Like mm-hmm. if
thanks, Glamour.
You're like my down to earth role model.
Oh, now. Whoa. That is so nice.
Yeah. I want to be more down
to earth. We're giving you an informal, informed pregnancy award.
That's
this
right.
This is another
Thank
award.
Thank you.
Yep.
And informy. Yeah. You're the first nice. Informy. We have to come up with a name for it.
Wouldn't it be funny if I showed up in 3 months and I'm like,
I hate kids.
I have 5 minutes. And you're going to have to pay me.
Double.
We are taking back our informy.
All right. We'll be back with you guys in a couple months. Thanks for listening to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. Share us with your friends and visit us online for access to our blog, documentaries, and other pregnancy and parenting resources at informedpregnancy.com.
Give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you.